Welcome. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. In studio with us today, Michael Scalar, who's a senior care specialist with Comfort Keepers.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome. He is going to talk to us a little bit about aging in place, aging in the home.
That is correct.
A growing concern for our aging population. I'm not getting any younger. Are you?
I'm not getting any younger, but I tell you what, that is a hot topic right now because there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
That is correct. Actually, caregiving is completely unregulated in the state of California, which is shocking to me.
We're going to talk a little bit about that, and I think that makes what you do all the more important, the fact that there are many people out there that are not being regulated. Also with us, Joanna DeVos. She is an estate planning attorney, and she's going to talk to us about what an estate plan is and why we need one.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me here. First up, aging in the home and healthcare providers. Now, what does it mean to age in a home? Now, if I'm aging, I'm in a home, I mean, what is it that I need your services at this level? Probably not much.
At this point, you probably don't, Ryan. We generally have two types of clients, those that don't have anyone in their life, either no family or their families are out of state. So some people just need companionship services, maybe some light housekeeping, meal preparation, some grocery shopping. That's on one end. On the other end, it's 24-hour care towards the end of life. So everywhere from bathing, transferring, toileting, the whole nine.
Wow. So like my grandmother-in-law lives by herself, and she has someone come in. As you kind of mentioned, it's the housekeeper, I believe, that comes in more and more frequently to help her. She doesn't drive and hasn't driven for years. It sounds like there's an increasing need for something like that.
There is. People are definitely aging, and especially with blended families, children moving out of state. And the other thing, you know, tying back into being deregulated completely is who's actually going into the home to take care of your grandmother-in-law. You know, my grandparents live here locally. So it's a true concern. So what I'm out here doing with Comfort Keepers is we're taking extra steps that are not required to make sure that we're sending in the best quality care into the homes of our most vulnerable seniors.
Well, so what do you mean it's not regulated?
It's completely unregulated. I could go down, get a business license today, put a posting on Craigslist, pay someone $8 an hour, charge the client $14 an hour, and that's all I need. No background check, no drug test, no DMV pull, no training, no case management, nothing like that.
It's not required that an RN be present for this?
That is not required.
Okay, so we're out in the field, and Ryan and I know of these home health care homes that were converted into apartments, if you will, where they put a nurse in and maybe two people per room, and they charge, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 per person for 24-hour care.
There is some regulation on that side, but it's very minimal. Most of our clients are private pay, so meaning it's clients who want to live in their own home.
Yeah.
They haven't necessarily transferred. But it does come to the point at times where they can no longer afford services. We work a lot with long-term care clients. So those that have not checked into long-term care, I strongly recommend it. That's not something we sell, but it's been a huge advantage for many of our clients. So the type of client that we're dealing with is people who want to live in their home no matter what, and what that actually
Which I would imagine would be the vast majority of people, right? Who really wants to get up and move at a time in their life that, you know, they're starting to need assistance. They know where everything is. They know where all the grocery stores are. They don't have to remember much, right? They just get up from where they're used to getting up. And there's a lot of programs out there right now, and a lot of people don't care for the reverse mortgage. But, you know, if someone's sitting out there with a lot of cash, and we don't do them, I see them. You know, people do them. They are able to pull cash out. There's also aid in attendance. Is that real?
That is real. It's a huge benefit. We work a lot with the VA hospital as well as a lot
What is aid in attendance?
I'd like Joanna to chime in and get more into that on the VA side. You know, Joanna, do you have more information about that?
For aid in attendance? I unfortunately don't have information here with me, but it's one of I wanted to go back to something you were saying, Michael, about how important it is to make these decisions in an unregulated industry. Because, and who I deal with tends to be the adults of these the people that wind up being placed in the communities or staying in their own homes, in this case, would be in their own homes through Comfort Keepers. But it's the adult children, and they're usually nominated in the legal documents that would give them the ability to make those decisions. Because without being in a power of attorney for this individual, for your grandparent or for your parent, you're not going to be able to make those decisions that they need for in-home care.
That's true, and with the aid in attendance, my understanding that as long as he served one day during active military time, then he do qualify, and there's also spousal benefits and things along those lines that you know many people can tap into, and they might not know about it. So really tapping into your professionals, asking those questions to see what's available is hugely important.
That certainly makes sense. Now, you touched on just a little bit, aging in place. Is it? Should I assume that what you're describing offering here is something one step short of the full-blown care facility, as opposed to removing the occupant from the home and sending them to a facility, which may be the last step for some people, or maybe not. I mean, some people may have their last step at home, so to speak, but this is perhaps an interim solution to keep somebody in the home for as long as possible. Is that the idea behind this?
That is correct, and as David was mentioning, people want to stay in their home no matter what. So we're able to provide those caregiving services. Oftentimes the call comes in after the crisis has happened. Grandmother, mother, someone has had a fall, injured a hip, pneumonia, whatever it might be. And currently hospitals are being fined by Medicare for readmission for the same diagnosis within 30 days. So we've been able – yeah, which is it's important because on for the consumer, for the patient, for the client, they're able to stay in their home. They're able to stay safe. For the hospital, they're avoiding the readmission and the fine behind it, and we're able to provide that service where people truly want to live, which is in their home.
What's your guess on the amount of time you're able to extend keeping somebody in the home with programs like you're offering?
That's tough to say, but we have been able to reduce some of the hospitals in the area, their readmission rates significantly. We also, as things get towards more the end of life, we've worked closely with hospice to extend the life. So it's really tough to tell, but we get together with their medical professionals, their physicians, their geriatric care managers, physical therapists, occupational therapists, et cetera, to truly prolong their life in a place where they're comfortable, as you mentioned earlier. With your eyes closed, you can make it to the bathroom. You know exactly there is half a step into the shower, et cetera. So that's where people are truly comfortable. And with Alzheimer's and dementia being as prevalent as it is, it's that much more important for you to stay in your home as long as you can.
Well, you know, with that in mind, I would say that if someone has concerns for staying in their home, they want to stay in their home a long period of time, and maybe they're making that move right now, they're looking for a property, you know, stay true to what you want and buy that single-level home. You know, don't compromise and get that double-level home thinking later on you might be able to put a stair, you know, one of those chair lifts in there or something like that, unless you can really tell it's a straight stairwell, you know, because – what I see a lot of times is people they'll stay in their home a long time, and maybe they've been there 20 years, let's say. And a lot of the neighbors, you know, they moved in. Everybody was friends. Everybody had kids. The kids left. A lot of people moved. You know, families changed, and now they're still there. And they don't know any of the neighbors, right? And sometimes the wife is thinking, hey, I need help, right? Because my husband has sleep apnea and I've got all these problems. We're going back and forth to the hospital and I really shouldn't be driving anymore. And this is getting to be a big responsibility. Meanwhile, you know, maybe they're getting Alzheimer's and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a slippery slope.
Agreed 100%. And unfortunately, we're more of a reactive society rather than a preventative society. Because the other issue I've seen is where people don't have their estate plans in place, for instance, because we all know how much more powerful the written word is than the spoken word. Especially, again, with the amount of blended families we have, children out of state, whoever tends to yell the loudest gets to make that decision, which may not be the intent and wishes of the actual client, the trustor, the grantor.
It is said that the pen is mightier than the sword, and that really is where Joanna comes in here with the trust.
Right. I mean, I can actually speak to two documents that are even more critical to have in place as a power of attorney. And your advanced health care directive with your medical power of attorney, because those are the calls that I get. I get the child of the aging parent calling and saying, I am not named in these documents and I need to get mom help. And mom never updated her documents. Mom never named someone to step into her shoes when she could no longer act on behalf of herself. And she's got dementia now, or she's got some other disability that would make it impossible for her to authorize any transactions or sign over her power to care for her. So it's a big issue. It's a big problem that people sometimes get some of these things in place early on.
But completely avoidable.
It is avoidable. And I think it's just education, people knowing, well, what do I need? And it's pretty simple, and it's not hard to get put in place, but it's so critical because the alternative is everybody's hands are tied. No one can take care of mom or grandma or grandpa or dad or their uncle or whomever it is that needs this essential care because someone didn't sit down and get these legal documents in place.
And I truly think that at the age of 18, you should have advanced health care directive and a power of attorney, and maybe even a handwritten will that says who's going to get your stuff if something were to happen.
At 18, huh?
At 18, you need someone to make your decisions. Your parents can't go in if there's an accident, if you're in college, let's say, which we hear those tragic stories where, you know, the Terri Schiavo case, for instance.
Well, even just what you said, I mean, once you turn 18, your parents are, you're not a minor anymore. And so...
Right, they can't step in and make those decisions.
No.
Right, you
could
be laid up, and they can't come in and say, "That's my child. I want this done," because they're an adult.
Right, and so under 18, you know, you have a will. Let's say you've got two kids at home, the dog, the cat. You got a will, and you say, "Okay, if something happens to me and my husband, then I want my sister Jane to be their legal guardian." Okay, so now Johnny's over 18 years old. How are we going? How's he going to deal if something happens to him? He needs to have a will in place, just as Michael said, but also an advanced health care directive. What that is, simply, it's just a legal document that names a medical power of attorney to make health care decisions on your behalf if you're not able to do so. And also speaks to end-of-life care or long-term care decisions, like I want to stay in my home for as long as I reasonably can. Those decisions are spelled out. Your wishes are spelled out in that document. So I think everybody needs that because we're all going to face it.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what an estate plan is and how you go about getting one. Also, we'll go over Michael's list here of the 20 questions to consider when making the decision for senior care ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Credit Repair Mike here. I'm very happy to be the only credit repair company recommended by Mr. Credit, and I hope the information I've brought to the show has helped you in some way. Right now, our company is growing so rapidly that we are looking to hire more sales agents immediately. So if you know someone who is out of work and wants to make some extra money, we have both full-time and part-time positions available. Our credit repair program is only $4.99 per person. Yes, $4.99 per person no matter what. And we have a money-back guarantee. The program sells itself. That's why Mr. Credit recommends us. Because you can't get full-service credit repair this cheap from anywhere else. Call me, Credit Repair Mike, at 1-800-525-1349 to find out more. That's 1-800-525-1349 or go to creditrepairmike.com. creditrepairmike.com. That's creditrepairmike.com.
January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101. 4101.
Performance Bicycle, the nation's largest cycling retailer, is facing record high inventory levels,
and it must be sold.
Now through Sunday, it's Performance Bicycle's Red Tag Sale. Over 1,000 items on sale store-wide for every style of riding.
Many prices too low to advertise.
Red Tag deals on helmets, clothing, parts, accessories,
and every bike in the store
is priced to sell now. Plus over 50 doorbusters at 50% off.
But only while supplies last.
Performance Bicycle's Red Tag Sale.
Now through Sunday.
Go to performancebike.com. For locations.
I need to protect my company's email.
Do you want an email security solution that's hard to install?
No.
You good with paying a fee for every user?
No.
How about a little extra for outbound email protection?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall, the world's best-selling business email security gateway with email encryption and data leak prevention included at no extra cost. Available as a hardware appliance, virtual appliance, or as a cloud service. And always humans to answer your calls. Try the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
So happy it's Thursday. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac, David McKelvin.
And myself, Brian White. In studio with us, Michael Sklar. He's a senior care specialist with Comfort Keepers. Heard from him about some of the programs he has for aging at home. We're going to hear a little bit more about that later in the show. Also in studio, Joanna DeVos. She is an estate planning attorney, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about what really an estate plan is and why everybody needs one.
Everybody needs one.
Well, shocking. You said that people should sit down and put a will together at age 18, even if it's just a handwritten one. That's pretty young.
I would agree. 55% of Americans don't have an estate plan or a will in place. So I'm sure that's a minuscule number for 18-year-olds.
And why is that? Why do half of America not have a directive on what to do with their stuff?
I think a lot of people, at least for clients that come to me that maybe this is the first time they're putting something together, they don't want to think about death. They don't want to have the tough conversations about what's going to happen when I'm not here. Or even worse, it's planning for incapacity or disability, thinking about, I'm going to be like my grandfather, I'm going to be like dad now. Ugh, I don't want to think about it. They just don't want to deal with it. But it's so important. It's such a gift to your family, to your spouse, to your loved ones, to get this stuff done now for peace of mind.
Well, I would actually disagree on a level, meaning there is a plan in place. But the government put that plan in place.
That's very true.
So what we're really talking about is actually going in and self-directing where your assets, where your life, where your care is going to be based on the decisions and wishes that you have, not just simply relying on what Uncle Sam wrote down for the general public.
Or the courts, because there's the law and then there's Uncle Sam, and they're going to write your plan for you. Essentially, if you don't sit down and put your intentions down.
Yeah, and one size
paper.
Does not fit all.
Absolutely not.
Well, so what is an estate plan? Let's just break that part down. What does that mean?
An estate plan is the legal documents that you need to manage your assets while you're alive and you still have capacity, and after you're gone, to distribute them, and who the people are going to be in place managing these assets when you can't, and then after you're gone. Now, while you're alive, it's you. You retain all the control, even though, you're setting up these documents for your incapacity or your death. You retain all the control while you're alive, and you have the ability and the capacity to do that, to do these things. So we're just talking about like a will, a trust, a power of attorney for financial decisions, a healthcare directive that has your medical power of attorney in it, where you name somebody to handle your healthcare decisions for you if you can't. Those are the types of documents that would be in an estate plan. So kind of think of it like a box, and you fill the box in with these pieces, or a puzzle, and you're putting these pieces together.
Well, you mentioned medical power of attorney, obviously for some of those life-threatening situations. But isn't there a specific power of attorney that people need when they're deciding what they're going to do with an asset such as real estate?
That would be the financial power of attorney. So that would be something that you would need in place for real estate transactions, bank transactions, anything with financial institutions, any transactional or legal authority that you'd be given over to a certain person.
So as silly as it may seem, going on the internet and printing some PDF power of attorney, having it notarized at Staples and then filing it somewhere is not necessarily going to really cover it.
A lot of people, the internet's great in some ways, and it's a landmine in other ways. So you go out there and you can find a power of attorney and do it yourself and put it together, and it could be done completely wrong. It could be pieced together in all different ways. You've not had a set of legal eyes to look over it to make sure that it's correct. I've seen powers of attorney come through my door where there's five people named on it and done completely wacky, and just clients put it together and say, I don't think this is going to work, but can you, I needed to get something done. I found it on the internet. So no. It's a no-no.
Well,
to do it yourself.
You know, when someone sets up a trust, right, it's like opening up a bank account. You have a bank account. You might not have any money in it. If you open up a trust and you actually don't link some of the assets to it, it's almost like having an empty bank account. It may feel like you've got something, but you've got an empty trust.
Exactly. And you're understanding exactly what a trust is. And for listeners that don't know what a trust is, it's basically It's a legal structure that's going to hold your assets, and it's going to name somebody to manage those assets if you're incapacitated and distribute them when after you're gone, after you die. And so the legal structure set up by the attorney, but exactly like what you said, is if you don't put anything in it, it's worthless. And I've unfortunately seen, you instruct clients to do that, and you do our best to facilitate that funding of the trust or putting those assets in. But if you don't keep things up to date, let's say you have a living trust, you made one 10, 20 years ago, and life's changed.
Well, yeah, like Kenny Chesney says, don't blink, right? I mean, you blink an eye, and, 10 years goes by.
That's right.
So, and a lot can change, right? I mean, life brings it on. So,
absolutely.
You make a trust, and maybe you got a spouse that you're no longer married to mentioned in a trust, and it may not necessarily be the wish that you have anymore. And, so how often would you say someone should visit a trust?
Absolutely. Every time there's a major life change, if somebody gets married, somebody gets divorced, a death of a spouse, a birth of grandchildren, you acquire a lot more assets and just, major life events. But otherwise, I would say every 2 to 3 years. And also, it depends a little bit. If for my older clients, I would have them, review their documents maybe annually. I'm talking about clients in their 70s and 80s and older, because they're going to be making decisions for incapacity planning, which in other words, meaning they're trying to stay in their home if they get dementia, if their health worsens, and then contacting Comfort Keepers or Michael at Comfort Keepers to sort of get those things in place. You need to revisit things a lot more often.
Well, let's just say that husband and wife, get a divorce, and, he was handling a lot of the financial things, and his relationship with, say, the attorney that put together their trust, wasn't necessarily her relationship. Would you be able to review and write a trust for, say, the spouse?
Well, what happens in the case of divorce is that ends the trust, because it's a joint trust. So if you were married and you divorce your spouse, that joint trust is revoked. So in the event of divorce, it's done.
So but revoked and then default to whatever
default
the
to,
state
to,
says.
Well, basically, the divorced spouses would have to set up their own separate living trusts, or if they're not remarried, they'd be setting up just for themselves, or if they remarry, they'll set up a new joint trust with their new spouse. So yeah, so if, in that scenario, the female, let's say she's on her own now, her husband handled everything, she doesn't know. This is so typical too. This, unfortunately, a lot of clients come to me and they had no idea, they weren't really interested or didn't really understand the documents when they were being done originally, or they didn't happen to like the attorney that their husband and they met a long time ago. And so we sit down and we talk about things and we say, well, what do you want to do? What's important to you right now? How can I help you? I will look over their trust. I'll look over their documents, even if it's their older documents that they had done with their husband, that if they're not valid now, but we decide, okay, what are we going to do now to make this work for you?
We're on with Joanna DeVos. She's an estate planning attorney. Her website is estateplanhelp.com. That's the website, estateplanhelp.com. So you had mentioned that a life event or every 2 to 3 years have this thing reviewed. But, I mean, that's like owner's manual in my car. I'm supposed to change the, AC filter every 5,000 miles. Nobody does that. Do people really, really do that?
They more often, as Michael was saying, we're a reactive society.
Right.
So I get the calls more often, oh my goodness, my husband's in the hospital and we haven't looked at this trust. We've just pulled it off the shelf and dusted it off in 10 years. So no, they aren't. They need to be. So that's why, education is so important. And you come in and you educate people about why you need to have these things looked at, keep them up to date, because life, it's all about life not staying the same. It changes. And so with it, it's all this stuff that you have that you've worked really hard to build, the families that you care about. You just got to have to, you're not going to remember on your own. It's a tough one. I think it's part of my responsibility as my client's attorney to develop a lifetime relationship with them and to kind of remind them, from time to time about the importance of having these documents updated and refreshed, or just for them getting good education out there.
Well, I would imagine when you're not creating new ones, a large portion of your time is spent reviewing existing ones,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is it something such that they can just email stuff to you, or how does it work? Does someone have to come
they
in?
They can email me their documents if they're scanned. I do complimentary trust reviews. I don't charge my new clients to just sit down and look over their documents, and then I make recommendations. And if they want to retain me, then that's great. But they can bring it in. That works as well.
So basically, anybody out there that hasn't reviewed their trust documents in the last 2 to 3 years is a good candidate for your free review service.
That would be true.
The website, again, is estateplanhelp.com. That's the website, estateplanhelp.com.
I'm actually on that site right now, and it looks like you guys have a seminar coming up in October.
We do have a seminar coming up in October, I believe.
Yeah, October 12th, it says. Can I sign up for that on your site?
You will be able to sign up for it. If it's not live right now, you should be able to sign up for it. Definitely try to get out to that if you can. It's just on general estate planning.
Okay. So it's a free seminar?
Then? Yes.
Okay, great.
Well, that sounds like a pretty impressive service to take you up on, the estate plan review, free. First-time clients. The website, again, estateplanhelp.com. You recommend every 2 to 3 years, or if there is some substantial life-changing event, which it's just about always, seems like in my life. Okay.
Well, for example, you just had a baby, right?
Congratulations.
For example. Yes. For example, a baby.
Life-changing, right?
Right? Yes.
So do you have your documents in place?
Of course
my
not.
Point exactly, right?
Ryan, I think it's also important to remember that at the end of the day, for the listeners that do have their estate plan, is you're the one signing your attorney's paycheck. That's right. You're the one signing their paycheck. So it's really developing, as Joanna mentioned, the relationship with that attorney, where we can call and ask your silly questions or, hey, this happened. Is this one of those times to come see you? It's really, really important.
No
to
question
keep that
is
in mind.
Too silly. I have two boys under 5 and lots of silly in my house.
I understand how that goes. Well, after the break, we're going to talk more with Michael Sklar with Comfort Keepers about 20 questions to consider when making the decision about a care specialist. Ahead of us when we come back.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. It's hard to find anything wrong with the Los Angeles Dodgers these days, even after a loss Wednesday to the New York Yankees. The Dodgers have won 10 of 12 and have sailed into first place in the National League West. All is well on the good ship Mattingly, except for one lingering headache, or more specifically, sprained ankle. Matt Kemp, who goes on and off the disabled list the way most people go on and off diets, is back on the DL. He's there because he made an incredibly bad base running play 10 days ago in Washington. Kemp spectated from third base on a two-out bases-loaded ground ball. As a result, he was thrown out at the plate after he started to run when he realized the play was coming home. Ankle sprain. No problem, he's fine, said the Dodgers. Then they said 3 days. Now it's the DL and it may be a while. What a foolish way to get hurt. I'm John Feinstein.
Performance Bicycle, the nation's largest cycling retailer, is facing record high inventory levels.
And it must be sold.
Now through Sunday, it's Performance Bicycle's Red Tag Sale at performancebike.com. Over 1,300 items on sale for every style of riding.
Many prices too low to advertise.
Red Tag deals on helmets, clothing, parts, accessories, and every bike at performancebike.com is priced to sell now. Plus over 50 doorbusters at 50% off.
But only while supplies last.
Performance Bicycle's Red Tag Sale.
Now through Sunday
at performancebike.com.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, AutoTrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cash back or low APR, so you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. 866-223-7174 or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
Welcome, ESPN 1700 AM, Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Just heard from Joanna DeVos, the state planning attorney. Her website is estateplanhelp.com. That's the website, estateplanhelp.com, where she's offering a free, I guess it's trust plan evaluation for all the new clients.
For any new client.
Wow. One more time, estateplanhelp.com. Now, Michael Sklar, Senior Care Specialist here with Comfort Keepers, he's got a list of the 20 questions one should consider when interviewing, when looking to hire a home care specialist.
In all cases, actually, as we mentioned earlier, caregiving is completely unregulated. So wondering what steps can I take, what due diligence, aside from asking my estate planning attorney like Joanna, for instance, what other recommendations, referrals, and if I'm doing the internet searches or once I have, you know, the name of a company, I want to make sure that they're qualified. What steps do they take in their hiring process? Is the caregiver who's going to come in and take care of mom, dad, grandfather, neighbor, do they have a background? You know, have they been accused of or prosecuted for elder abuse, for instance, for any sort of theft, things along those lines? Right now it's completely unregulated.
No checks for that.
No checks whatsoever. At Comfort Keepers, we have taken the steps to put things in place, not only on the training side, but with our background checks. We're doing DMV pulls on our caregivers because if one of our caregivers had, let's say, a DUI last night, we want to know about it to make sure that they're not driving around with our seniors, you know, the next day to their doctor's appointments and things like that. It's a very scary world out there.
You had mentioned a couple accreditations that you uphold to without the necessity, the self-regulation. What were those?
Right. There's two of them. One is ABHC and the other one is CAHSAH, C-A-H-S-A-H. And so there are some agencies in town, and we've taken the lead with that to do some self-regulation, to put some standards in place with regards to drug tests, background tests, insurance, making sure the caregivers are ours and not, you know, outsourced. They're not contractors. So those are all the steps that we're taking and other agencies who are part of those associations have.
So there's no requirement that you abide by these particular agencies, I guess it's perhaps best practices, so to speak. But as a way of setting industry standard, you guys do it.
We're trying to take the lead. There's about 300 agencies in San Diego alone, and they keep popping up. There's some, you know, just small mom-and-pop shops. As we discussed earlier, you could literally go down. I encourage you not to do this. I hope you're not doing this unless you're willing to take the extra steps, but get a business license. And by means of either Craigslist or just knocking on doors, can get into seniors' homes legally and start doing care, whether it be light housekeeping, all the way through, you know, toileting and transferring and things like that without any background checks. So I'm really hoping the listeners out there are taking extra precautions and feel empowered when making the decision as to who's going to take care of our seniors.
Right. And one of the largest rising crimes in the United States is elder abuse. Financial elder abuse and just general physical elder abuse. And so take those steps, absolutely.
And right, you actually talked a little bit off air about some cases where some of the seniors had gifted, you know, that Mercedes that they've had parked in the garage for years to a caregiver. And
right, it was someone that they trusted for all those years. It maybe was a neighbor or someone that they had cleaning their houses for a long time or their gardener, and They made those gifts through their will or their trust, and they never had that, you know, that gift reviewed by an independent attorney, because the law says if a gift is made like that to a caregiver, not a family member caregiver, but someone like your, you know, your neighbor down the street that's always looked out for you, or the gardener or the housekeeper, that you need to have a certification from an independent attorney who didn't write the will or the trust to begin with. Otherwise, that gift is presumed as fraud, because they want to protect the senior, because they're thinking these things happen because it's unregulated. We're living in a world that this is going to be more and more commonplace to see crimes against seniors, which we're seeing already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, you know, buddy up with a senior that has quite a bit of money, and maybe they don't have any children to will this to, and, you know, they could take them for all they're worth. I mean, not to say that they're not willing to give it to them, because, and frankly, in a lot of cases, it very well could be a legitimate gift.
Absolutely, and if you think about it, that's one of the most intimate things. If someone's assisting you with showering, cleaning you, and things along those lines, it's not wrong for the senior to offer the gift. But for the caregiver, especially receiving compensation to accept it, that's not right.
Well, so let's get to your list here a little. We talked a little bit and brushed on a couple of the topics, but let's talk about your list, as we have 20 points. I'm sure we won't get to cover them all. And to get all the information, the website is comfortkeepers.com. The website, again, comfortkeepers.com. Well, we're going to start by going through just a few of them. And you have on the top here, how long have they been in business? I mean, is that, I would imagine you learn over time how things are to be done.
Absolutely. Experience is very important. Comfort Keepers is an international franchise, actually. We have over 650 locations, both in the United States and abroad. And because of that, there are other states that do have regulations. California is just behind the times, believe it or not, in that fashion. So just because we are a franchise, we have to hit those minimum standards that are being hit in other states. So we have been in business for almost 13 years now, and we have our CEO, Matthew Fink, and we have our other CEO, Carol Sachs. They've been very involved with it. They've developed it, very reputable. And again, I think the most powerful thing you can do is go to your trusted advisor, whether it be a financial planner, your CPA, your real estate specialist, your estate planning attorney, et cetera, and ask, hey, what have you heard about Comfort Keepers? And see the response that you get.
You have on here liability coverage. Now, I would imagine if you're hiring somebody off of Craigslist, there's no liability coverage in place. Well, why would this come up?
You know what it does? A lot of people do pay for private pay, and there are risks you're taking, because all of a sudden you've developed an employer-employee relationship. And I won't touch, you know, on the legal terms, but Joanna, feel free to chime in if you'd like. But now all of a sudden, and it's I've seen it, I've heard about it, I've read about it, where the private pay caregiver's cleaning on top of the fridge appears to be a common one, and now they've had a slip and a fall. They've hurt themselves.
In your home.
In your home. Is your homeowner's going to cover that? I don't think so.
Usually not.
So what happens in that case?
So there's been seniors who've lost their homes as a result of lawsuits and things along those lines, which is so preventable. And
absolutely.
That's what really, really irks me.
Well, that's
so
a big,
in this
big
case, let's just say the house was in a trust.
And
the senior hired.
Then the house was in a trust. That trust is, you can still get that asset.
Interesting.
It doesn't protect it against creditors, lawsuits, no.
So in that example, you're saying that hiring, say, for example, your company to do something like that? I mean, how does someone avoid this problem?
Well, we do have the liability coverage. And in addition to another big concern about letting anyone into your home is theft. What happens to, you know, mom's wedding ring, for instance, or the silver collection, things
especially
along those lines.
When mom is starting to develop a dementia or Alzheimer's and doesn't remember, you know, things, and the senior care provider could be sitting there thinking, hey, they don't even know this is here.
100%. That's 100% true, and we've seen it happen far too often. As we were talking as well, elder abuse, both financial and physical, is on the rise. I heard Paul Greenwood, our deputy DA, speak about it last week. And it's terrifying what's going out there. And what's even more terrifying is those are only the cases we're hearing about. How many of those cases go unreported?
Most of them go unreported because the seniors don't want to prosecute. The seniors don't even want to report them. I can tell you phone calls that have come to me, and it was clearly an instance of elder abuse, and the victim did not want to report because it was a lot of them were family members, unfortunately, or they were these caregivers where they had these long-term relationships, these trust relationships, and they just didn't want to go forward. It's tough.
Well, you know, talking about the precautions that are taken, right? I mean, one would say that some of the biggest dangers are the seniors themselves, right? You know, they say that if you're out there and you're on your own, lost somewhere, the biggest danger is not necessarily the wolves, it's yourself, right? So, you know, I remember one of the seniors, one of my family members, I think it was my great-grandmother, was developing Alzheimer's, and she still liked to cook. So there was examples of her leaving the stove on, you know, leaving the burner going, this sort of thing. And in the process in which you guys go through, you actually have a fireman come out and certify the property? Or so what, tell me about that.
We do. We actually have a certified firefighter on our staff. And as our way of giving back to the community, because we are truly concerned about senior safety, we do provide free home safety assessments. So our certified firefighter oversees our safety program, and either our certified firefighter or one of our four case managers will go out into the client's home, take a look around. Another issue that really comes up where as the children, as the neighbor says, you know what, Mrs. Jones, it's great that you've been collecting Time magazine since 1950, but the oven probably isn't the best place to store it. It's amazing to watch Quentin, our firefighter, walk in with his boots and say, ma'am, I don't think that's the best place for it. And it's amazing to have that independent review, someone with the certification, the experience, the knowledge, and the way to navigate to really make the home safe for the senior.
And so with that review, recommendations are made as to what, you know, needs to be done to create the safest environment possible, I would imagine.
That's correct. Everywhere from grab bars in the shower, where the bathroom is the most dangerous place in the home, as we were talking about, combining water and soap generally isn't a good combination. And oftentimes we're seeing with, elderly couples where it's the well spouse who's assisting with the showering or something like that who has the fall. Now all of a sudden, both clients are in danger. And it's truly saddening, what's going on there, especially when things like that are preventable. And we've seen so much of it that's why we really want to give back and provide those free home safety assessments.
We're on with Michael Sklar, Senior Care Specialist with Comfort Keepers. He's offering a free in-home safety evaluation by your certified firefighter. And to go into the home, the website is comfortkeepers.com. That's the website, comfortkeepers.com. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more about the estate plan and the healthcare directive and get some idea of how that's going to avoid a Terry Schiavo-like scenario ahead of us when we come back.
Ah, the sweet sound of money in your pocket. For a limited time, new Exxon Mobil smart card holders can save 18 cents a gallon at Exxon and Mobil stations. Subject to credit approval, new account holders can save 18 cents a gallon for their first two billing cycles and 6 cents a gallon each cycle after that. Just use your Exxon Mobil smart card to purchase at least 45 gallons in a billing cycle, and you'll receive the rebate on your billing statement for gallons 1 through 100. Get details at ExxonMobilCard.com and learn why more smart drivers choose Exxon and Mobil.
I have something so serious to tell you that I hired the world's most serious composer to compose a serious song while I tell you this. At Little Caesars, we've always been serious about quality ingredients. That's why we use fresh shredded mozzarella and Munster cheese on all of our pizzas, while some places use something called pizza cheese made with modified food starch. Little Caesars, when it comes to quality, we're serious.
Pizza, pizza.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Student loan debt in the United States is now larger than credit card debt, coming in at over $1 trillion. The good news is there is a company I know very well that's helping people lower monthly payments on student loans every single day. I have a personal friend that I referred to this company. He had over $20,000 in federal student loan debt and was making payments of more than $150 a month. He was able to get his payment down to $45 a month. And also, any balance remaining after the 300 payments may be completely forgiven. Call 877-927-6864 and ask about the free guide, 8 Secrets on How to Lower Student Loan Payments. It's 100% free. 877-927-6864. Student loan relief is real, and I want you to have it today. 877-927-6864 is the number. That's 877-927-6864. 1-800-926-4664. If you are considering a short sale or letting your home go to foreclosure, please listen carefully. There are laws in place to protect you and ways that you can get out of a bad real estate situation completely unharmed in almost every single case. But here's the important thing. Time is of the essence. I will help you 100% free on how to handle a short sale or foreclosure on your home while eliminating the damage done to your wallet. But I need you to call as soon as possible so we have all potential options available to you. Okay, this is the key. Call 888-888-0154. It's 888-888-0154, and just leave a message with your contact info and brief synopsis of the situation. That's it. It won't cost you a dime, but could save you a bundle. I don't want you to become one of those horror stories I hear about every day from people who didn't call me until it was too late. I'm doing it for free because it's my job. Let me do my job. Call 888-888-0154 right now for all the information you need to do what's best for you and your family with regard to your real estate. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We were just hearing from Michael Sklar. He's a senior care specialist with Comfort Keepers. He talked about his free in-home safety evaluation that he's given to all the new clients, has a certified firefighter go in the home and make recommendations as to why to not store Time magazine in the stove. I mean, I think we probably would get that one on our own, but I'm sure there's many out there that he can assist us with. His website is comfortkeepers.com. That's the website, comfortkeepers.com. We're going to turn our attention briefly here to Joanna DeVos. We heard from her before. She's a state planning attorney, and really she wanted to hit on a little bit harder as to how to choose the people you want to name in all of your legal documents prior to becoming incapacitated. And these are the people that are going to be taking care of you.
Exactly.
You're selecting your team, so to speak.
Right. So if it's your will, this is your executor. A lot of us are familiar with wills and executors, but that's the person that's going to distribute your assets after you're dead, after you're gone. If you have a trust, the name of that person is the trustee after yourself. You are your first trustee, so you're managing your assets while everything's okay. But once something happens, if you are diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, you have a stroke, you are diagnosed as being incapacitated, you can no longer carry on your affairs, the next person in line that you're going to identify and name as this person's going to take over, your power of attorney. Who's going to have power of attorney over? That's the power of your signature. Remember that. It's important to know. The power of your signature, you're giving that to someone, your agent, to act as your attorney. In fact, to sign your name to those real estate transactions, to the financial transactions, if something happens to you. So that's a really important person. And a lot of people don't get these documents in place because they have trouble figuring out, well, who would that be? Well, maybe it's my spouse, but what if something happened to my spouse? Would it be my eldest son or my oldest daughter? Or what if the family dynamics are such that they're fighting like cats and dogs and there really isn't a family member to handle this? And who do you want? Who do you give your trust to? You have to absolutely have trust in that individual. And that person is, you know, acting on your behalf. Yeah.
This is a really hot topic because I tell you what, when you start appointing a family member as the one to distribute the assets, that family member is under a lot of scrutiny from the rest of the family.
A lot of scrutiny.
In fact, a lot of cases, let's say there's four kids and one's the trustee. I tell you what, they might be getting along just fine without the money, but when there's money at stake, it seems like they cannot live without it. And there's always some reason for it, and they're kicking and screaming, and in a lot of cases making decisions that are too quick, you know, not well thought out.
Oftentimes that is the case and not the exception. You're absolutely right, David. There are alternatives, though, to appointing professionals in that position, such as a professional fiduciary who can step in. Michael is also a professional fiduciary. He's licensed and bonded to be a trustee, to be an executor, to be an attorney, in fact, for a client. And they are neutral. They are not part of this family drama. They are not going to be in the middle of all of this. Well, they might be in the middle of it, but they're not going to be in that
financially
position.
Financially benefiting from it.
Right. Involved. Emotionally, and they're not financially benefiting. So you always have that issue if you've got, and more, most families want a family member or a close family friend in that position because that's who they trust. Then I have to talk them, just as you said, David, you explain all those scenarios, the what ifs. Well, what if you know, your son doesn't appreciate being looked at for, you know, being in charge of all the money when dad and I are gone. And now he's no longer my brother. He's, you know, he's doling out the money, and I don't like having that relationship with him. Or what if it's, well, dad liked him best, and that's why he put him in that position. Or what did he do to get on dad's good side that he would have all this control? And then there's fighting, and that's who winds up in courts. And you know who wins in the court? The attorneys win. So
the attorneys win.
I guess so. That's what keeps some of us in business. I don't do the litigation side. I do the preventative side. Mine's like the preventative medicine for law. I try to get everybody to make these decisions so that they don't wind up in court and the government doesn't win and the attorneys.
Sure, a lot of people say a great contract makes a great transaction.
Absolutely.
And this is just we're talking about on the distribution side, but during life, as we've talked about today, incapacity is one of the decisions under the Agent for Healthcare and the power of attorney. Is what care are you going to receive at home? Are you going to do a private pay? Are you going to hire an agency? Are you going to sell the home and move, the parent, the grandparent into a home? So these are some of the decisions during life that the trustee, power of attorney, and agent under the healthcare directive have to make.
And some of the older documents don't include some of these decisions. I've seen some documents, older than 10 years that don't have these provisions in them. So if you have done some of these, your power of attorney, your healthcare directive, your living will, as it's sometimes known or it used to be known, you should have those refreshed, updated, taken a look at to make sure that all those powers are covered.
So is it your recommendation that people go out and get an independent trustee to?
It depends on the family, I think. With all my clients, it's very individual relationship, and I want to consider all the factors. If it makes sense legally, in all respects, holistically, even just looking at all of the variables for them to have a family member be in this position, then I'm fine with that. I do present the option of a fiduciary more often even than a corporate trustee. You'll hear like a corporate trustee, some people say, oh yeah, I named, Bank of whatever as my trustee, trust was written, and these banks, it may not even be valid in today's day and age, because some of these banks require a certain number of assets under management in order to serve as your trustee. So there's issues there. But I do almost always mention the option of a private professional fiduciary because of all of this, all the potential for fighting and family conflict.
Well, they certainly can't get in the way, right? If someone's not happy with the decision, there's a lot of times in the trust there may be issues that come up that they can veto. Is that true?
That who can veto?
Well, okay, so let's just say that there's a piece of real estate in the trust.
Okay.
And there's a trustee that's assigned to selling it. And the trustee makes a decision on what agent to choose, what commission to pay, what price to choose. And right there, I'm thinking that when we're talking about such a big asset, that people could think, well, why in the world are you selling this house for $900,000 when it's worth $1.1 million?
And that trustee is held to what's called a fiduciary standard, and he's supposed to, or she's supposed to, act in the best interest of the trust beneficiaries, which wouldn't, maybe include himself or herself in that. But it's a standard they're supposed to hold themselves to, and not try to control everything themselves. But there is a lot of control that one individual has, and it could be scrutinized.
So there's the gray area, right? So someone not the trustee could say that they weren't acting really on behalf.
And that happens all the time. They go to court sometimes. They'll say, well, my brother's trustee, and he is not doing what he's supposed to do. The trust says that he's supposed to distribute this property to me and my sisters, and he hasn't done it. He hasn't shown us what it's worth. He hasn't done an accounting, which is required by law to do at least an annual accounting.
That makes it complicated.
And yeah, it's a position that too many people just kind of don't think through. Not only is it complicated, but it's a lot to ask the person that's serving. Even if it's a great person, it's your son, you get along with him, he's wonderful. It's a lot of
people
work.
People get funny around money.
True.
And if it's not the trustee or executor, it's his or her wife or husband.
Yep.
That's oftentimes where we've experienced it as well, where the family member is the one in charge and they're doing the best they can, but they have their spouse pulling on them. Hey, can't you get a little bit more? Or, we want that a little bit. Can't you pull? You're the trustee. And so we've unfortunately experienced lot of litigation, as Joanna's mentioned. And the other thing here locally in San Diego is the Vista Courthouse closed down their probate. So now all of probate, which is the stuff we're talking about, is going through the San Diego Courthouse. So it's backed up the court dates. Decisions aren't being made.
So if you're fighting about any of this stuff, there's only one. What Michael's saying is there's only one place in San Diego County that you would go. Whether you're in North County, whether you're in East County, you got to go downtown.
Downtown. And theoretically, having an estate plan in place is going to prevent
it. Will hopefully, if you don't do it yourself or have it updated and make sure that it's have it updated. In all seriousness, that's a big issue because ones that are out of date that don't contain the wishes as of now are real problematic, especially once that son that you once loved decided to go run off and, you know, do something crazy.
It happens.
Professional trustee, that's good advice. Well, we're talking to Joanna DeVos. Her website here is estateplanhelp.com. That's her website, estateplanhelp.com. She is, of course, an estate planning attorney, was offering free to anybody out there a free estate plan review. And they go to your website, find out the information, perhaps set an appointment on there, or do they just call you?
They would call me to set an appointment.
Got it. So a free estate plan review, which is recommended to have every 2 to 3 years or some big life changes.
Like having a baby.
Like having a baby. Remember that.
I mean, you know, you should go to her website and look into that free seminar that's coming up. If you decide to make any changes at all and you don't really want to make that phone call, just go to her site, sign up for that program, you know, get it in the calendar so that when it comes up to be October 12th, that you're part of that free seminar so you can really put this thing in place. It's too important not to. And Michael Sklar
was a senior care specialist with Comfort Keepers, the website, comfortkeepers.com. That's the website, comfortkeepers.com. They're offering a free home safety evaluation with their certified firefighter to come in and make recommendations as to what needs to be done.
Yeah, evidently they've got enough home caregivers that they can probably turn that around within 24 hours. Isn't that what you said?
That is correct. We have, with the amount of caregivers we have and our case managers, we're able to usually get out there within a day or two to go through the home, make sure everyone's safe at home.
Also on the website are the 20 questions to consider when making a decision about hiring a home care professional. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Until next week. Thank you.